More and more people in pain and medical professionals are turning to integrative medicine to treat pain. Joining us now on the Bioethics Channel is a practitioner of integrative medicine, Dr. Heather Tick, who is the executive director of the Institute of Integrative Pain Medicine. Dr. Tick, what do we mean by integrative medicine?
Well, integrative medicine is a system of approaching medicine and patients that is different than the allopathic system that we've been using up until now. It involves more patient-centered care. It is more focused on the relationship between the practitioner and the patient rather than just the diagnosis. The diagnosis in integrative medicine is often the starting place for the adventure, for the journey that we go on with patients, as opposed to the ending point where we think, okay, we've accomplished it, we have the diagnosis, next patient, because, I mean, the economics of medicine unfortunately dictate that most practitioners have to see patients very quickly. In integrative medicine, it's much more important to know more about the patient, to take a very thorough history, a diet history, a careful history of their work, of their family life, of their previous family life, where they came from. Especially in the pain area, those factors are extremely important. And with integrative medicine, we tend to look at the whole person. And we also like to say that our work is informed by the evidence, as opposed to totally limited by the evidence, because the evidence is only, it's catching up to the practice. It's always playing catch up. And as practitioners, we need to do no harm, first off. But if we're using practices that are time-honored, maybe traditional North American Indian, Native American practices, or from other traditional societies, if we're using herbs, if we're using nutrients, if we're using dietary change, we don't necessarily need to have extremely rigorous evidence to allow us to use those things as we would if we were using a new drug or a new cancer therapy or a new surgery, where we really should have those types of evidence, because those kinds of things can cause more harm.
How is integrative medicine then different from what some people might term the biomedical model for treating pain, or is it the same, or are there some differences?
Well, the biomedical model is focused on the bio part, on the science of the biology. So we're now moving more towards biopsychosocial. That was the next step. And so you've included the psychological and the social factors that go into making up a person's entire response to whatever happens to them. And then in integrative medicine, I think it even goes a step further, and it goes beyond just medicine, and it includes all appropriate therapies that can be used, and takes into account a person's belief systems as well. Because if you have somebody who believes strongly when they walk into your office that herbs can cure things, then you'd be very well to look at herbs for working with them.
So integrative medicine, biomedical model, should the two work together in the best case scenario?
Absolutely. We want to take into account all the best scientific evidence in medicine that is there when we're doing integrative medicine. So integrative medicine doesn't want to discard allopathic medicine and drugs and surgery and all the science that's behind the biological model. We want to integrate that with more components.
What are some of the common denominators, the common themes as you work from patient to patient in pain management and pain treatment?
I think the most common thing that I hear from patients after I spend usually an hour interviewing them and speaking to them, listening to them and taking at face value what they tell me, is that the experience of having a physician spend that much time and actually hear what they have to say is it in itself transformative. I think I must hear that every clinical day that I do practice. And the other things that I hear very, very commonly are that patients didn't understand that they can actually take charge of many factors that affect pain on their own. The first thing I tell people that they have to do, if they haven't already done it, and most people who walk into my office haven't got a perfect diet, but the first thing I tell people that they need to do is look at their diet. When we eat a diet that is full of sugar, high glycemic carbohydrates, which are the carbohydrates that quickly become sugars in our system, and fried foods, fast foods, chemical-laden foods, we are eating a pro-inflammatory diet. We're increasing the inflammation in our body, and we are therefore also increasing pain. When I tell people that in very plain, simple terms, they're astounded to hear that something as simple as giving up their donuts and soda may actually help improve their pain. Many of my colleagues feel that patients are not willing to change their diets, and I'm astounded at how willing they really are once they know that that is the situation. So that's the other thing I hear, is that people didn't know how they could help themselves. And once they know, they're so willing to do it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, then, where would you rank how we treat people for pain these days, 10 being the highest?
Wow. I don't like to be negative about things. So I'm going to try and skirt that question without adding a number to it.
You're not alone, by the way.
I don't think we treat pain very well. I think the reports that are out, starting with the Mayday Foundation, going to the Department of Defense, NCAM has got, and NIH has interest in it, and of course the IOM report, I think it's very clear that we're not doing a very good job. The pain care system is costing a fortune, and we're not really helping people. And I see that in my office every day. I see people who have been through the system sometimes for 10, 15, 20 years and have not gotten help. I'm fairly blessed in the skill set that I hold and the teachings that I came into this practice with. I actually help a lot of people who come in with a variety of different types of pain. I see a lot of success in my practice. And I know that there are other integrative practitioners who are finding that as well. So I think we have the tools in our toolbox. We just aren't using them enough. And that's what we really need to do. So I think with the new mandates that are being given by Department of Defense, a very conservative organization, by the Institute of Medicine, I think the directions that pain care is going in is extremely exciting, and it's all integrative.
What are your hopes, then, and aspirations? You mentioned the IOM report, the Institute of Medicine report on pain that was released in June of 2011. How do you think that might move the ball forward, so to speak, for medical professionals and for individuals who are suffering from pain?
Well, let's start first with my profession, with the medical professionals. I think that it is clear that we're being directed to share the court, to work with other professionals, and to really undertake interprofessional education, interprofessional objectives. And that means that we're going to be moving towards teaching medical students, nursing students, acupuncture students, chiropractic students, some of their coursework together. That's the aim. Because when those professions and more all work together and learn together, they start to recognize each other's skill sets. And then we can all really work together for the patient's benefit. Because after all, that's what this is all about. This is patient-centered medicine. We're supposed to find out what our patients want, what our patients need, and we're supposed to use whatever tools we can find in order to help them. I think that the attention that pain care is getting is a very, very good thing. And I think that the directives that are pointing us towards being more inclusive, doing patient-centered care, will change what pain care looks like. I think 10 years from now, it will not be the same field of medicine that it is now. There will be more people interested in it. You'll see it in medical school curricula. You'll see family practice residents knowing what to do with pain care. And, of course, we're going to have to change the fee structures and the way in which time is allowed within the system to help deal with pain patients, because that's what they need. They need to be heard, and they need time for that to happen. In terms of what's going to happen with patients, I think they've in part been part of the effort that has helped make this happen. There are patient groups, there are patient advocacy groups, pain advocacy groups, and it's clear that patients aren't getting looked after, and they're asking for more. If you look at the studies on complementary alternative medicine use in North America, it's been rising very, very rapidly. People are speaking with their pocketbooks, and they're saying, we want integrative care, even if it isn't integrated into allopathic medicine yet. We're going to go find it. We're going to integrate it ourselves. I think that's been also a big push behind what we're seeing now.
Dr. Heather Tick is a practitioner of integrative medicine. She is also the executive director of the Institute of Integrative Pain Management. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the BioEpics Channel.